Hello, you are listening to The Wellness Project with Des. I'm your host Desiree, a mental health therapist and holistic wellness coach. On my podcast, I interview experts in the field of mental health and wellness, as well as those who share their firsthand accounts of their mental health journeys. These interviews will give you many tips, tools, and strategies to improve your mental health, as well as give you hope, support, encouragement, and inspiration on your own personal mental health and wellness journey. Thanks so much for being here. I would greatly appreciate it if you took a moment to leave me a review on iTunes and leave the podcast 5 stars on Spotify. It really helps the podcast to grow, which in turn helps me to keep bringing on amazing guests and spreading mental health and wellness education and support. And make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss an episode. Are you ready to embark on a transformative journey towards holistic well-being, unlocking the full potential of your mind, body, and spirit? If so, I'm thrilled to invite you to my program, the Holistic Wellness Transformation Coaching Program. My one-to-one coaching program is a comprehensive and individualized approach to help you improve your overall well-being. As a holistic wellness coach, I'm here to guide you on a transformative journey to attain balance and harmony in all areas of your life. With personalized coaching sessions, I'll offer guidance and support throughout your wellness journey, starting with a thorough holistic assessment. We'll dive into your past, habits, thoughts, feelings, behaviors, and patterns that may be holding you back and no longer serving you. This assessment forms the foundation for your customized wellness plan. Together, we'll explore the 8 foundational elements of wellness to ensure you feel balanced and aligned with your goals and your values. This program goes beyond the surface, providing you with mental and emotional support. I will help you to manage stress, anxiety, and other challenges such as perfectionism and people-pleasing, offering techniques and strategies to enhance your resilience and your skills. The benefits of this program cannot be overstated. I'll be there every step of the way to support you in achieving balance and harmony in your life, manage stress, and improve your emotional well-being. Nurture healthy connections, create lasting, healthy habits, achieve your goals, and gain confidence in your ability to transform your life. Join me on this journey to holistic wellness. You could go to my website to check out my various packages, and you could go to my Calendly link found in the show notes to schedule a free 30-minute consultation call where we will go over the 8 core areas of wellness, as well as your goals and your dream life. Reach out and let's get started on your wellness journey so you can finally live the life you want. Hello everyone, I'm your host Des and this is episode number 150. On today's episode, I'm speaking with Anne Diment all about workplace burnout. We've talked about burnout quite a few times on the podcast before because it is such an important topic, and today's episode has a little bit of a spin to it, which I found absolutely fascinating. So Anne comes on and talks with me about how a history of trauma can actually contribute to your workplace burnout. It can actually make you more susceptible to burnout. I thought that was really interesting, and the way she explains it actually makes a lot of sense. This is a really great conversation, very insightful. I think you're going to get a lot of value out of it. So help me welcome Anne. Hi, Anne. Thank you for joining me today.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm really grateful to be here.
I'm really looking forward to our conversation today. We're talking all about burnout, which is a very important topic and something that I've struggled with. I know a lot of people are struggling with right now. So I'm really looking forward to this. I think it's going to be a great conversation. But first, to get us started, I would love if you would introduce yourself, share your story, tell us who you are, how you got to where you are today.
Thanks very much. Yeah, my name's Anne Diment. I'm a mum of 2 teens and I'm based in Glastonbury in the UK. I had quite a few traumatic experiences in my early life and I didn't realise till I was an adult how much they'd shaped my brain and my behaviours and made me a prime candidate for burning out, basically. Spent most of my 20s and 30s struggling with self-criticism, self-doubt, perfectionism, all the classic traits that lead you to burnout. And I didn't receive a complex PTSD diagnosis till I was 38. Without giving too much away, I've spent the last 14 years trying to work out what that meant to me and how to recover from it, figuring out how to build my own resilience toolkit and to basically find a path to healing and recovery and hopefully help other people to do that too.
Oh, wow. Thank you for sharing all of that. So, before we get into our discussion, can you define for us what burnout is exactly?
Yeah, there's many definitions. I mean, the easy way I describe it is basically complete and utter physical and mental exhaustion where your body just says no and you just completely shut down because it's there to protect you from any more exposure to unmanaged workplace stress. There's obviously an official definition from the World Health Organization. I mean, it was officially defined in the 1970s, but there's been more official definitions by, now the World Health Organization. Basically, the definition from the World Health Organization is it's a work-related issue, and I have to emphasize it's not an individual weakness. And their definition is it's a syndrome conceptualized resulting from chronic exposure to chronic workplace stress that has not been successfully managed. And their characteristics are complete feelings of energy depletion and exhaustion, mental distance from your work, your job. So, you're feeling negative or cynical about your work and reduced efficiency at your job because if you're not functioning effectively, then you won't be working as well as you could be.
All right, great. Thank you for sharing that. And in your own personal experience, or kind of the things you know about burnout, have read up on, what kind of factors, different factors, contribute to burnout?
Well, I mean, the main one is working hours, overwork. And, the World Health Organization again did a study. They classify overwork as working over 55 hours a week. I guess as many of your listeners who would be working longer hours than that in today's economy with people doing multiple jobs and if they've got other responsibilities outside their work as well, they don't stop, they don't switch off. Obviously, if you've had trauma in your past, you're going to be more likely to not have the boundaries in place to say no to overwork and obviously affect your relationships at work and how you work within teams and respond to stress. There's another factor as well, which they call moral injury. Basically, it's if your values don't align with the values of the organization you're working for and you're constantly battling with your inner values and trying to do the job that you're doing and feeling not aligned with that.
Okay, great. I think a lot of people can relate to the different things that you were just talking about and listing. And it's so interesting that you brought up that actually a history of trauma can contribute to burnout as well.
Obviously, my history of trauma is through adverse childhood experiences, and there's lots of research to show that if you've had exposure to violence, economic deprivation, racism, addictions in the home, or assault or abuse in any way when you're younger, that actually physically changes your brain. So it makes you less likely to be able to form social connections. It makes you more likely to have problems in terms of how you respond to stress, how you connect with your emotions, and actually physical health issues as well, and you're more likely to have addictions and lots of things that trauma can do to you. So that obviously is going to impact how you interact at work and how you feel about yourself, what you believe about yourself, what jobs you go for, how you perform at work. So it does have a big impact on your life. And unfortunately, many people don't recognize that they have exposures to these traumas, and they don't get the support they need to help them overcome these issues. Stigma as well. If you fear of being found out or stigmatized because you're struggling with your mental health or not coping, because if you've been stressed, there's a stigma attached to that. And unless we start having these conversations, people don't get the help and support they need. And it could be as simple as conversation as, to screen people for these ACEs, as they're called, adverse childhood experiences. And actually give them the right support so they can understand actually they can live and work differently.
It's a really great point, and I'm glad you bring that up because I agree. I think a lot of people may not realize that either they've had these different experiences, or maybe they don't really recognize them as traumatic experiences, or if they're aware that they have had traumatic experiences, they may not be aware that that's kind of contributing to the burnout. So that's a really great point that you bring up. So if somebody is struggling with burnout, but they maybe don't realize it, or they just have those thoughts like, oh, I'm not good enough if I work harder and if I'm more motivated, but they lack that kind of motivation, what are some either common symptoms of burnout or just ways that somebody can start to recognize that what they're dealing with is burnout?
Well, the first thing is your energy levels. If you're fatigued and tired all the time, if you're constantly getting stressed or really finding like everyday work and you're not able to switch off and not able to not think about your work, getting ill a lot, your immune system gets suppressed when you're stressed, how you interact with your friends and family, because you can be very impatient and aggressive and also withdraw yourself socially. You know, there's a whole cycle of not feeling good enough, and if you're exhausted, you don't want to socialize, you don't want to interact. Other behaviors, you know, self-medication in terms of alcohol, drugs, gambling, other things like that to help you feel better about yourself. And it's a very fine line, because obviously I've written a book called Turning the Tables on Burnout, and you know, you have to check that obviously there isn't any other mental health thing going on, like depression. They're very closely linked, but burnout isn't the same as depression, so it's, you know, important to define that. Those are the main ones, really. I mean, exhaustion and how you feel about your job, how you feel towards your work. Are you feeling detached from your work? Are you feeling anxious about going into work? Because many people, you know, that's the dreaded, if you work 9 to 5 Monday to Friday, that dreaded Sunday feeling when you think, oh my God, I can't face Monday morning. And, you know, there's evidence to show that presenteeism, so showing up at work and not being fully on the job, is costing more to the economy than actually absenteeism when people are off sick. So people are terrified to go off sick, because if you don't run 0 hours contract, you don't get paid, or if you're self-employed, it's really easy to burn out because of the way that your work is set up.
Yeah, great for people to know. Thank you for sharing all of that. Important symptoms for people to definitely keep in mind and try to recognize within themselves if they're dealing with any of that. So at this point, I'd love to shift gears a little bit and kind of get into what someone can do if they do recognize that they're struggling with burnout. How can people either prevent burnout or address existing burnout?
I've got a free download on my website that gives people how to tame your stress triggers, which is obviously a really good starting point, to identify what actually is stressing you, what's depleting your energy. Simple thing to do is do a little energy audit, so you can see what gives you energy gainers and energy drainers. And I like to think of it like a bank account. So you start the day with, say, $100 in your bank account. And for everything that drains energy, things that make you feel tired, things you don't want to do, things you don't enjoy, you know, you take a dollar away. Things that give you energy, you add a dollar. If you do that little simple sort of thing, like, oh, I've got to deal with that person today, that really drains me. So think about how you can gain energy by doing something that helps you, like going for a walk or connecting with a friend or having a nice lunch and eating healthily. All those things actually energize you. You have to balance it out, because, you know, you don't get through life without any stress. It's not about that. It's about how you deal with stress in a healthy way. And when it gets to the point where actually it's beyond your control and you can't manage the stress, that's where you get into burnout, because, you know, you can have as many coping mechanisms as you like, and resilience is often abused because it's seen as a weakness in the individual. But you can be as resilient, you can be like an elastic band, you can be as resilient and cope with as much stress. But actually, there comes a point where you snap, because you have all your coping mechanisms are overwhelmed, you're depleted, your energy account is depleted.
Okay, great. And I know something that you talk about is how creativity kind of supports well-being and kind of prevents burnout. Can you talk about that a little bit and explain that to us?
When I reached rock bottom, I was off work for about 9 months, about 12 years ago now. Just a lot of events happened in my life, a lot of grief, and obviously the impact of my trauma was really affecting me. My work was really stressful, and I was getting bullied at work, and things were going on. I ended up being off work for 9 months. And during that time, I mean, I couldn't even take my children to school. I was so ill, I couldn't leave the house, you know. During that time, I managed to get out one day to the local library, and the local art club was doing a little free demonstration. And I really enjoyed it. And just playing with watercolour paints, I noticed that my mind, rather than the racing negative thoughts and the ruminations and the, you know, the constant not feeling good enough, I was calm when I was painting. And so creativity, if you go into the neuroscience of it, if you're being creative, your brain is using the prefrontal cortex bit of your brain, your thinking, your problem solving brain,
and it's bypassing the safety bit and the emotional bit of your brain. So if you're being creative, you're in flow, your brain isn't focusing on the not good enough thoughts. Creativity in whatever form is one of the biggest tools that I use. I play music, I write poetry. All those things just help me to sort of balance, as I just said, balance your energy, you know, reconnect with friends, reconnect with other artists, and just reconnect with yourself and express yourself. Because I had over 20 years working in health and safety, which you can't make a mistake when you're in health and safety. You have to look out for things that could hurt people. You know, you have to make sure you get everything right. You check all the documents. You can't make a mistake. It's fear of making a mistake. But with art and creativity, you celebrate mistakes and you go with them. And that's a complete turnaround. It was such a revelation to me when I actually left health and safety to go back to college to study art. Being allowed to make mistakes and being okay with that. Such freedom. It was unbelievable.
Oh yeah, I can imagine. I love that. I love that you shared that. That's such a big mindset shift.
Definitely. And unfortunately, we were brought up to think that, you know, especially as adults, you know, we forget how to play. We forget the freedom that children have just to go with something. And, you know, when kids are doing make-believe games, we just go with an idea and then they build on it and they bounce off each other. And, you know, when they're playing house or they're playing whatever, they role play and they play games and they don't care if they get it wrong. They go, okay, well, why don't we try this? And, you know, as adults, we lose that because we're terrified of not fitting in. We're terrified of doing the wrong thing or saying the wrong thing. And in the workplace, that can be really quite draining. You know, if you're terrified of saying the wrong thing or not getting it right, because time is money and, you know, mistakes cost money, then you are constantly on that loop of fear, because you know, it's all the shoulds and coulds and musts, isn't it? It's you must do this, you must do that. And yeah, creativity can free you up. So, you know, there's lots of ways of working that can be creative. And actually the no wrong answer type cultures in some workplaces is how you get the best ideas out of people, isn't it? People aren't feared of making the wrong statements.
That's great. That's really great. I love that. And so true. Such a great point. Do you have any sort of words of advice or words of wisdom for people that are struggling with burnout?
I share a quote in the book from Maya Angelou, which, you know, Maya Angelou's writing is fantastic. And she says, you might not control all the events that happen to you, but you can decide not to be reduced by them. You know, we can't control everything that happens to us in life. But if you remember, whatever situation you're in, wherever stage of burnout you're at right now, if you remember that you are enough, you are good enough, and there is a way through it, because your brain is amazing. They call it neuroplasticity. Your brain can actually reshape and reform itself just by how you think. Basically, whatever situation you're in, the first stage you're at is accept yourself, and then you can work through a process of accepting where you're at, feeling where the stress is in your body, and then working out a way of letting go of the triggers. And accepting yourself is the first step, though. Accepting yourself and saying you are enough, and then you can move forward and find healing with the right support from there.
Okay, great. And I know a lot of people struggle with self-acceptance. Do you have any sort of ideas or tips for people to get started on that journey? Because that could be really, really challenging for some people.
Carl Jung, a quote that I love from him is, the most terrifying thing is to accept yourself completely. And it is terrifying. I do an exercise with clients, which was coined by one of the founders of EFT. And he says that we live in a palace of possibilities, but we all stay in one room. So the room that we stay in is the beliefs in our head about ourselves. And they're usually formed by the age of 7, by our experiences and the beliefs of our parents, our caregivers, our society, or whatever religious belief we follow. And those beliefs stick with us, and we grow and live by those, the writing on the walls in that room. As I said, your brain is plastic. What served you when you were 7 as a belief to keep you safe, accepted in that society and that group, as an adult, it may not be completely true now. It may not be a thing. So thinking about actually what is relevant to me now and letting go of those old beliefs and reframing them is hard, but with the right support and the right, you know, reflective tools and learning to forgive and forget anything that's happened in the past, you can rewrite your own story. you can rewrite your beliefs about yourself, how you want to work, how you want to live, and actually go forward with your life with what serves you right now. That sometimes is a revelation to people, knowing that they can actually rewrite their own story, regardless of what's happened to them in the past. They can actually start now and say, from now on, this is me, this is what I am, and I'm letting go of anything that doesn't serve me right now.
Oh, yes. Great. Thank you so much for sharing that. And this has been so amazing, so helpful, so valuable for people to hear. Such an important conversation. I would love if you could share where everyone can find you.
Yeah, I'm in a few places. My main, my coaching, my stress management coaching is worksafeandwell.co.uk. We'll probably share them in the links, I guess. I'm on Instagram as Anne Diamond Artist. I'm also host of Creating Resilience podcast. And I'm on LinkedIn too.
All right, perfect. Yes, everyone, I'm going to have all of Anne's links in the show notes, so definitely go check her out. Anne, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been really wonderful. Thank you.
I really hope that you liked this episode and gained a lot of value from it. If you did like this episode, please share it on social media. You can tag me at The Wellness Project with Des on Instagram and at According to Des on Facebook. If you do enjoy my podcast and gain value from it, I would greatly appreciate your support. You can show your love and support by buying me a coffee. This will help my podcast to grow and in turn will help me to keep bringing on amazing guests. You can go to buymeacoffee.com/thewellnessprojectwithdes to show your support. All books written by or recommended by my amazing podcast guests are listed on my Amazon storefront. Go to the link in the show notes to check out those books. I would love to extend an invite to you to become a part of my community. You can do this through Facebook, where we will be discussing this episode. I would love for you to share your insights, any aha moments, any thoughts or ideas you would like to contribute. You can contribute in the discussion taking place in my Facebook group, and it's a great place to connect with me because I am in there every day with mental health and wellness content, discussions, reflections, journal prompts. It's a fun and supportive place to be. You can find the group at facebook.com/groups/accordingtodes, and that link will also be in the show notes. You can also check out more of what I'm doing on my website, accordingtodes.com. You'll find a lot of wellness blogs, written interviews, detailed podcast show notes, and my shop, where you will be able to find workshops, my self-care course, digital downloads, ebooks. There's a lot going on my website, so make sure you check that out at accordingtodes.com. And while you're there, join my email list to stay in the know about what I have going on and available for you. When you sign up, you will get your free ebook, The 5 Stress Reduction Techniques to Help You Feel More Relaxed. Thank you so much for being here. I will talk to you next week. So until then, I hope you have a calm and peaceful week.